And there was a very nice paper, both from the Moffitt Group in Florida and the MD Anderson Group, looking at some of the national registries of cancer in this country. And it just came out in Blood this year. And it was very interesting. So what they found was the incidence of the disease in the overall population is around 3 to 4 individuals per 100,000. As we know, it affects males more frequently. Interestingly, actually, males have also a worse prognosis than females.
How about total number of cases?
Around 20,000 per year in the U.S. They also found that there was an increased incidence. So they look at data from some of these registries from 2001, 2002, and 2003, and it went from like 3.1 to like 3.45 or something like that. Now, we don't think that there is more MDS. I think that what's happening is that as physicians, and particularly pathologists, are starting to pay a little more attention, there's now increased reporting. Now, one thing that I like very much from this paper is that it showed very clearly something that we already knew, but it's nice to see it in actual numbers, and is that there's a very steep increase in the incidence of this disease as we pass the age of 60. So actually, when you look into the 70s and 80s, the number goes up to like 40 to 50 individuals per 100,000 in the U.S. population. Now, these are major figures because, as you know, we are all expected to age. And this group of patients, at least in our country, is going to be one of the most important demographic subset of patients, patients in the 70s and 80s. And I don't know what is your perception as a physician, but the patients that come to my clinic, now maybe some bias there, they look pretty good. You know, when I was an intern, people in their 60s and 70s were old people and they had COPD and bad coronary disease and other comorbidities. Patients now in their 70s and 80s are extremely active and some of these comorbidities are really almost disappearing. The other issue is, as you know, that some patients with myelodysplastic syndrome also have these secondary conditions. Basically, they had another cancer or rheumatological disorder, and then they get therapy for, let's say, breast cancer or lymphoma, or actually sometimes just rheumatoid arthritis with a little bit of cyclophosphamide, and then they develop these secondary MDSs. So as we are more and more successful in the solid tumor and lymphoma arena treating these patients, I have to tell you that my clinic is now inundated with patients with lymphoma, treated successfully for it, autologous transplant, and now, a number of years later, they've developed secondary myelodysplastic syndrome. So what I'm trying to tell you, basically, is that I think this is going to be a major health issue in the next few years, and it's going to be very important. And that's why I think, actually, that, for instance, new prognostic models are key, because not every patient with MDS is the same. The classifications that we have right now, I think the most important probably is the IPSS score. You know, we all know that this is a classification from the mid-late 90s. I like it very much because it looked at a group of patients that did not receive therapy, many of which had acute myelogenous leukemia, etc. But it's clear that it underperforms. You know, you cannot really predict with certainty what's going to happen to your patient, especially for those individuals in the low and intermediate one subgroups. So I think there are a number of initiatives that are very important.